Praise God. You can be seated. I'd love to say, first of all, that it's a real privilege for me to be here in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And it's certainly a privilege to have the tent up and to see the people respond so wonderfully coming here to be with us tonight in the service, especially after the little problem that we encountered in first coming into Jeff. It's wonderful to be a Christian. How do you agree that it's wonderful to be a Christian? It's so wonderful to be a Christian. I don't know of anything that thrills my heart any more than the thoughts of being a Christian. Being a real, genuine Christian really thrills my heart. When I think about God, I think about the love of God, and I realize that I'm really genuinely born again. It thrills my soul. Now, tonight, if I did not know for sure that I was born again, it would trouble me. I think the most miserable people in the world are those that are church people that are not Christians. I think that's the most miserable people in the world. You know, the Bible teaches to be hot or cold, and I think that what we ought to do is either be on one side or another. Because when we get caught in between, we are a sickly people. We are a very poorly people. We are a very miserable people. People that are out in the world altogether that's cut loose from religious activities are a happy people in the sense that the Bible teaches they enjoy sin for a season. They really enjoy sin for a season. They get enjoyment out of life into things that they do. It's only for a season, and after a short season, they'll be cut off and they'll go into the lake of fire. And those that are in the ark of safety, as we say, or that belong to God, they have another way of enjoying life, and that is in the inner joy and jubilance of Christian living, having the full assurance that they are ready to meet God at any time, and that they have that blessing of eternal existence, of eternal riches, of eternal life and happiness. They have the promise of it. They have the heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels. You know, it's good to realize that you already have something. A lot of people are just living in hope, and hope is a good thing. But what we need to do, beloved friend, is to realize that we already have something. If I just had to live in hope, I think I'd die in despair. But coming to realize that I already have something does something for me. I already have something in my heart. I already have God in my heart. And I already have eternal life in my heart. And I've already passed from death unto life. And because of this, then I'm able to rejoice forevermore. So then it's my thrill to be here tonight to speak the words of God to you. We've been able to preach the gospel around the different parts of the world, from Europe to South America, into the islands and different places. And it's a privilege for me to be here tonight and speak to you under this great gospel tent. When I say the tent, this, of course, is just one pole of a much larger tent. The tent is about 280 feet long and about 140 feet wide. It's about an eight-pole tent. And we only have one pole of it set here because we felt that this was what we were supposed to do here in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And this meeting has a great significance. Let me say this to you tonight before we read from the scripture. I'd like to talk just a few minutes and get acquainted with you. We are not just here for another meeting. Our meetings or our ministry is somewhat different. And I know that everybody feels their ministry is different, and it is, in that there is one spirit, many operations. But our ministry is somewhat different. We have come to understand the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has caused us to be fortunate enough to look in on world affairs. When you come into the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, I say this to you that have never come into the revelation, it opens your heart and mind to international affairs. It opens your heart and mind to the local situations. And you suddenly come to understand all things. How do you believe that we all ought to know all things? You know, a lot of people, they dwarf themselves in Christ, and they dwarf their experience with God by feeling that there's certain things that God doesn't want them to know. But you know, that's not Bible. The Bible teaches that we have an unction from the Holy One, that we should know all things. And then the Bible tells us that we have the minds of Christ. Whereas the mind of Christ knew all things, and the Bible teaches to let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So then God wants us to know all things, and God lets us know all things. And when we come into the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, God begins to make us to understand things on an international level. And because of this, we have been able, by the grace of God and by His great wonderful love, to understand things throughout the entire world. And not only throughout the entire world, but throughout the entire universe. And not only throughout the entire world and the entire universe, but we have been able to go beyond the veil into the great spiritual depths of God that man has not yet fathomed. We have gone beyond the veil and the curtain of time, and we have looked into the great beyond. We have seen that man is approaching, and what is on the other side, and what God has for humanity. I would never have believed that man could do that, but tonight I know that he can, because I've been privileged to do it. I'd always wondered what Paul meant when he said he was caught up into the third heaven and saw things that was not lawful for him to utter. And I never dreamed that there was such an experience for the church. I had preached the gospel for many years. I had been to church. I'd prayed. I'd fasted. I'd done everything that a minister should do. I'd done everything that a church member should do. And I thought that was all there was to it. And I never dreamed that the church was being held back from such glorious things until I really become acquainted with Jesus. But I'm glad tonight that I'm acquainted with Jesus. And I say this. It is no wonder that the world tonight, in all of its great activities, it's no wonder that they are drawing humanity away from God. It's because they have placed on exhibit so many fascinating things that they have spun a web around the minds of the people and enticed them with such great enticement that the world is irresistible. While as yet God hath not been able to get the minds of the people enough to let them see the greatness of the things of God. But folks, when you see God, when you really see God, there is nothing in this world that can compare in any way. Not in any way. You know, I recall talking to a great professor one time of a college. And he said, Brother Pike, he said, the things that you're talking of, I have never heard in my life. He said, most assuredly, these must come from God Almighty and from another world. He said, I have never heard anything like this, never in all of my life. We've got something, folks, that we can look forward to. We've got something that the world doesn't have. God has given you heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. And if we're diligent and if we'll walk together and love God, the world is fixing to see something like they have never seen before, and that is the manifestation of the sons and daughters of the Almighty God. You love Jesus? All right, I want to say again that it's a privilege to be here tonight. We certainly appreciate these people being out from the TV station here that's covering the meeting. They're fine gentlemen. They talked to me earlier before we come to the tent tonight. And we've had numbers of cameramen that have come out, different TV stations have come out. And we appreciate them coming out here to our meeting. They've been very courteous, and they worked with us. And this is something that we're used to by now. You know, I never had cared much about anything except just to get away with God. But I found myself getting into the news and getting on TV all over the country when I started preaching the gospel. And we've been in the newspapers on the front pages of the biggest papers in the nation. And we've been on TV across the nation in different places and radio everywhere. And we're used to it. And in most cases we find out that those that work with you are real gentlemen and they're fine people. Where some of them, we find that they're a little bit arrogant and create a little problem. They're a little critical. But most of the places, the news medias want the truth. And we hope tonight that they'll be able to establish the truth, because that's what we're here for. We're set for the defense of the gospel or the truth. So then we welcome those that come. The police just came by a little bit ago, just before we came in. I believe the chief of police and the others came by and said, we want Brother Pike and the people to know that we were working with them 100%. We're working with the securities. And if anybody troubles them in any way on the grounds, all they have to do is let us know and we'll take care of the problem. We appreciate that because we appreciate the courtesy of the authorities here in Jeff and of those people that work with us. If there's one thing that we want to do, it's uphold law and order and uphold justice. We want to do that because that is the thing that we're trying to work toward. One thing I have a conviction in, this is a very staunch conviction, and that is that we must, out of necessity, obey God rather than man. That must be first of all. We must honor God because the powers and authorities of God and the Supreme Court of God is superior to everything else. And we must first honor God and then honor the brotherhood. So then we want to honor God first and do what God tells us first. And then after that, we want to do whatever the law or anybody else tells us. All right, we want to apologize tonight for not having a smog machine in here to kind of get rid of the mosquitoes. We hope to have one tomorrow night. I meant to have it this morning to where you could be more comfortable. And I know it makes you kind of miserable, the river being nearby and those mosquitoes coming in. Some of you perhaps are used to it, but tomorrow night, if nothing happens, we'll be able to clear the area before you get in and make it more comfortable for you. How many of you are glad to be here tonight? Let me see your hand. All right, I believe that you really are. I'm sure that maybe some of you came out tonight to see what was happening because of all the differences on TV and the first one thing then the other, but I'm trusting that in that you come out that maybe you'll hear something that might excite your soul in the behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ and cause you to lay hold on something that would be worthwhile. But I want you to do this for me tonight. I want you to pray with me. I want you to believe with me. You know, the Bible said when you pray, believe. It doesn't do you any good to pray, friend, unless you're going to believe. You're never going to get anything from God unless you believe. How do you know that that's true? You must believe when you pray if you're going to get anything from God. I know a lot of praying people, but they don't really believe. So then they don't really draw the benefits from God that they could draw if they were believers. But if you'll believe when you pray, I promise you that God will answer your prayer and He'll do great, wonderful things for you. I want you to stand with me again tonight. Will you do that? Now, I want to say again, it's my privilege to be here in Jeffersonville, Indiana. I count it a great privilege to be able to address the people and talk to them about the wonderful things of God. I think there's some wonderful people here. I've met some wonderful people in Jeff, and around the world we meet wonderful people. You know, we go down into Honduras. We held a crusade in San Pedro Sula, Honduras, not too long ago. We met wonderful people down in Bolivia, South America. We were there in crusade. We met wonderful people. We were over in Haiti. There we had a crusade. We met wonderful people. In Sweden, as we preached there, we met wonderful people. And here in America, we meet wonderful people. Wherever we go, we find that people are wonderful. And the devil, he's not wonderful. He causes a lot of problems when he gets into creation of God. He causes a lot of problems. But did you know that if you'll take Satan out of the picture altogether, humanity is just as fine as they can be? Did you know that? It's only when Satan gets into the arrangement that you have trouble. Now, you don't have any trouble at all until the devil gets into the arrangements. Is that right? But you let the devil get into the arrangements and you got trouble. And I mean you got real problems. So then tonight, we want you to lift your hands with us as we pray. And I want to pray with you tonight, and I want you to believe as we pray. Now just let's lift our hands together. Now I've already felt the wonderful Holy Spirit. I felt Him here tonight. I felt Him on these grounds in the last day or two since I've been here. I prayed for people on the grounds before the tent went up. And I felt the great, wonderful moving of the Holy Spirit here. And I felt Him here tonight. And folks, if you'll be sincere, if you'll be honest with God tonight, you'll feel this great, wonderful Christ that I'm telling you about. Because Jesus is alive from the dead. He's resurrected from the dead. And He's here tonight, living in the hearts of mankind. And He said, if two or three will gather together in My name, there I will be in the midst of them. And I want you to lift your hands with me tonight. And I want you to love the Lord, because I feel God here in this tent tonight. Wonderful Heavenly Father, as I lift my hands to Thee tonight, Lord, You said You would that men everywhere lift up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. And oh God, tonight I lift my hand to heaven. And Father, these people lift their hands to heaven in the name of Your lovely Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask Thee, oh God, as we glorify the name of Your Son tonight, the One that died at Calvary and spilt His blood for us, Jesus. Lord, as we glorify that name tonight, we ask Thee to let the presence of the great, wonderful Holy Spirit come down here tonight. And Father, may You heal tonight. May Your Spirit, Father, be here tonight. And may You stretch out a healing hand, oh God, that we can feel the healing power of God. I pray that You would heal tonight. Father, move over this audience tonight. If there is someone here that needs a special touch from God, Father, may You heal tonight. May You break every yoke tonight. May every yoke be broken tonight, Father, as the divine Spirit of God begins to heal and His people find deliverance tonight. I pray that every yoke would be broken, every ill power would be bound, oh God, every evil spirit would be bound tonight and be driven away tonight, that the great, wonderful presence of God may be here tonight, and the name of Jesus may be hallowed tonight. Let it be, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son, and we'll be careful to give You the glory. Amen. You feel better? Hallelujah. All right. Let's sing a little chorus together. Since you're standing up, let's just sing a little chorus together, can we? I don't know. It looks like we lost our piano player up here. Give me another key, Braxton. Try another one. Sweep over my soul. Sweep over my soul. Sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul. For my rest, it is complete while I sit at Your feet. Oh, sweet Spirit, sweep over my soul. Don't you love Jesus tonight? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Sing it again, can you? For I have anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest it may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Just lift your hands up and love Him for a few minutes. When you anchor in Jesus, when you come to Jesus, Oh, hallelujah, I feel His presence tonight. When you come to that great fountain, the Bible said, let whosoever will come, let him without money come. Out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. And we can draw this water out of these wells of salvation with joy. For the deep calleth unto the deep at the water spout of God. David said, and you're God's water spout tonight. And you're filled up tonight with the waters of God. And David said, in one place my cup overflows. And God wants your cup to overflow tonight, children of God. God wants His great Spirit to be upon you. It's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the thing that's lacking in the church today is the Spirit of God. It's good to have everything, you know, that we've got today. God has blessed us with fine cathedrals, and God's blessed us with many things. But what we need in the church today is the moving of God's Spirit. Without God's Spirit, there will be no life. Without God's Spirit, there will be no healing. Without God's Spirit, there will be no deliverance. Without God's Spirit, it'll be a great day of mourning. It'll be a lonely day. It'll be a time of oppression, and spirits will bind people, and people will be under heavy oppression, and great oppression will be upon people and upon the world until we take the Spirit of God into the arrangements. And what we need to do is love Jesus. Love the Lord. God said, I want you to lift up holy hands. You know, in some churches today, they don't want you to lift up your hands and praise God. But the Bible says, lift up holy hands. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, what makes you think hands are holy? The Bible said that God, He has sanctified forever. Sanctified forever. Them that are among us tonight that believe in the name of the Lord Jesus. By one offering, God has sanctified forever them that believe in the offering up of the body of Jesus Christ. Have you believe in the blood of Jesus Christ tonight? For by one offering, God has sanctified them forever. And the Bible teaches that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. God hath made forever perfect them that are sanctified. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, there's no way that people can be perfect. But I want you to know tonight, God is coming back after a church without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish tonight. God is not coming back after a church that's going to have spots and have wrinkles and have blemishes in it. God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, and sanctified them once and for all by the offering up of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So then you say, Brother Pike, don't you believe that we ought to sanctify ourselves? The Bible said, sanctify yourselves daily. And I believe that if we walk in the grace of God and do the things we ought to do, beloved friend, we'll abstain from evil, and we'll abstain from fleshly lust that warreth against the soul, and we'll sanctify ourselves every day that we might be fit vessels to be filled with the Spirit of God. But I want you to know, aside from that, God has done a finished work in Christ when He sanctified us by the blood of His darling Son, Jesus. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I feel God, don't you? What the church needs tonight is Jesus. You know what they need in the Methodist Church? They need the move of the Holy Ghost. If John Wesley was here preaching tonight, he'd preach the Holy Spirit. You know what they need tonight in the Baptist Church? They need the moving of the Spirit of God. You know what they need in the Catholic Church? God's great Spirit tonight. Hallelujah. There's nothing wrong in the Catholic Church, nor the Baptist Church, nor the Methodist Church, nor the Church of Christ, nor the Pentecostal churches that God's Spirit can't correct tonight, beloved friend. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. We got a young man sitting here at the piano that was in the Church of Christ for many years. One day God got a hold of his heart, filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he left. He had been in college for many years. He left the college and started to preaching the gospel, carrying on for Jesus, and tonight he's still singing the songs of victory. Hallelujah. We got a missionary. He called. He said he'd be at this meeting. Was in a Catholic church. God saved him. God filled him with the Holy Ghost. God moved upon him with the Holy Spirit. And tonight he's a great warrior for God because of what God's Spirit done for him. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to do for you tonight. God wants to heal your body tonight. God wants to save your soul tonight. God wants to do something for you tonight. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, why get so excited? You know, when you go to a football game, you can't get into it unless you get excited. Somebody say amen. Holler, shout, run and jump. Get into that ball game. Isn't that right? If you go to a horse race, it's the same way. Whatever it is, you got to put a little bit of physical effort into it. Brethren, it takes a little bit of energy to worship God. The Bible said, be holy in body and in spirit. God wants you to be holy in body too. A lot of people say, all you have to do is believe, Brother Pike. God took care of it at Calvary, and it's all in your spirit. But God said, be holy in body too. Isn't that right? How do you know Mary was a virgin? How do you know that took a little bodily effort? It takes some bodily effort tonight, folks. And by the way, that's one of the things I'd like to talk to you tonight about, is some of concerning those virgins. There was 10 virgins. How do you know there was 10 virgins? I want to talk to you about them tonight. All right, God bless your heart. You can be seated. Forgive me for keeping you standing so long. All right, we're going to ask him to bring the Bible up here to us, laying right over here, Brother Taylor. And we're going to read just a little bit to you. And if I get excited, you bear with me, because this thing's exciting to me. You know, I don't know how that people can have this great, wonderful experience with God and not get excited. I never have been able to understand how that a person can have the experience that I've come across and not get excited. This thing is really exciting to me. All right. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me just a little bit. Let's turn over to the book of Matthews, and let's read just a little bit here from the book of Matthews. Now, most of you know that the book of Matthews, chapter 24, that is concerning the time when Jesus talked with his disciples about the end of the world. How many of you are familiar with that? It was the end of the world that Jesus was looking at here, and he told them of the great things that would transpire and what would come to pass. It says here in chapter 24, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. He told them this as he sat here upon the Mount of Olives. And then he went on down into the fourth verse. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. He explained here that many would come saying, I am Christ, and would deceive many. He goes on down to state here. He said, for nation shall rise against nation, and I think most of us will agree that we're at that point right now. He warned them that nation would rise against nation, and he goes on to speak of the pestilence that would come, and he said there would be earthquakes in divers places. You can read it on down as we read here. There would be earthquakes in divers places. There's never been earthquakes, never in the history of mankind, such as we're having now, and with the regularity that we're having it with now. And he went on down to say that they would rise up and they would betray one another to death. False prophets would rise in the land. He said iniquity would abound and the love of many would wax cold. And he went on to say how that they would be delivered up before the councils and the different things, and how that they would be condemned. And then he said, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, he said, then the end would come. All right, then he goes on over here just a little further in the 25th chapter, and he tells them about these virgins. And he says to that, then shall the kingdom of God be likened unto 10 virgins. And he said they took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. He tells us here that 5 of them were foolish and 5 of them were wise. 5 of them took all and 5 of them did not take all. And he goes on to explain here that at the midnight cry, he said that the cry was given in the 10th verse. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Now, I'm not reading all the scripture here because it would take a good while. We're running just a little bit late. It would take a good while to read it all. Sometimes I read maybe a whole chapter or two in my meetings, but I just run over this to try to highlight these two chapters. First of all, Jesus is speaking of the end of the world. Next, in the 25th chapter, he is speaking of the 10 virgins. He tells how that the warning comes of the midnight cry, and then all of a sudden the door is closed. Because those that he warned was not ready. Five of them had no oil. Five of them were foolish. They had no oil. Therefore, the door was closed. Now, I'd love to take just a few minutes tonight and elaborate concerning this and tell you some things that I see in this tonight. I believe that right now that we are living in the very time that Jesus spoke of in the 25th chapter of Matthew, and that this is the midnight cry where the Bible speaks of the end time, when it said that there was a great voice that cried out, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." I believe that this is the midnight hour, and I believe that we are getting ready to go out to meet the bridegroom. It is my conviction that at this hour that we are fixing to meet Christ. It is so close at hand that we're fixing to meet the God of heaven. The Bible said that when this cry came, that all of them were asleep. Now you would say, Brother Pike, if all of the virgins were asleep, then pray tell me who made the cry. Did you know the Lord said, "I will set watchmen upon your wall that shall never hold their peace." There is watchmen tonight upon your walls, children of God. There is watchmen upon the walls of this world that will never hold their peace. They're the ministry of God. They're God men and God women in the world tonight. They're pillars in this earth that's holding up the kingdom of God in the earth. And they're crying out tonight, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming." But the Bible said the wise were asleep. The foolish were asleep. Did you know this is a sad thing to say? But at this hour, not only is the foolish virgins asleep, but the church world is asleep. My brother, I know that that really hurts, and I know that that's hard to say tonight. But I want you to know tonight that the church world in general is asleep tonight. Not only is the foolish virgins asleep, but the entire church is asleep tonight. They have gone to sleep tonight. And they have intermingled with the world, and they have become interwoven with the world until you cannot tell the world from the church anymore. You cannot tell the difference between them anymore. The church does exactly what the world does, and the world does exactly what the church does. You say, Brother Pike, what's so bad about being in the world? The Bible said God so loved the world, but the Bible teaches that God so loved the world the way that He made the world when it was in the condition of the Garden of Eden. God so loved the world as He made it in the Garden of Eden when it was without sin, when it was without fault, when it was without corruption. And God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to redeem the world from the corruption that it had fallen into. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son to redeem it from that evil thing that had happened to it, that He might restore it to that great, wonderful coming millennium, that great, wonderful age of government that God promised to give to them that find a rest in Christ. And so then God so loved the world that He did that. But I want you to know that God doesn't love the world in the condition it's in tonight. God doesn't desire the world in the condition it's in tonight. God doesn't desire the things of the world tonight. And the Bible said, if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not there. Brother, the church tonight is in love with the world. It's not in love with God. The church world tonight loves the things of the world tonight. And they're more interested in the things of the world than they are the things of God, my beloved friend. And not only are they in love with the things of the world tonight, but I want you to know that if you go contrary to the things of the world, they'll go contrary to you. I want you to know tonight that they love the things of the world so much that they will die before they'll give up the things of the world. But the Bible said at the midnight cry, the foolish virgins was asleep and the wise virgins. But I want you to know tonight that God, in the midst of all of the church world, God has a people. That in the midst of those sleeping virgins, God has a people. Some of them are asleep. Some of them good, godly, Holy Ghost-filled people. Some of them Spirit-filled people of God. They're asleep tonight. They're asleep tonight, beloved friend. But I want you to know they're God's people. They've gone to sleep. They've been put under such pressure by the ecclesiastical powers and the authorities of the church until they feel that they cannot hold up the standards of the biblical teachings of Christ anymore. And therefore, they're so suppressed that they're giving in. But they still believe in the things of God. They still believe in the things of God. And they've gone to sleep in this kind of condition. But I want you to know tonight that at the midnight cry, the Bible said those wise virgins begin to shake themselves. They begin to shake themselves. They begin to move themselves. They begin to start to move and shake themselves, to trim their lamps and to rise up. They begin to look around and see that they were in the darkness. They begin to realize that there was something that was missing. You know what it was? It was light. Light. You know what you'll find missing tonight if you look around, church world? You know what you'll find missing tonight? You'll find the light is missing tonight. God said, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Why isn't the world seeing our good works tonight? Why is it that they're not glorifying our Father which is in heaven tonight? Because the lights are gone out, beloved friend. It's like the song said, let the lower lights be burning. Let the lower lights, you're the lower lights along the shore tonight. We know there's angelic lights in heaven, but there's the lower light along the shore tonight. And you're supposed to let your light shine that men may see your good works. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, what do you mean, good works? I mean that it takes some physical effort. It takes some physical doings. You know, we love to live with the idea that we can do everything natural, everything carnal, everything that we want to do in this world naturally and not do anything spiritually for God, and that everything will still be all right. But I want you to know it takes some physical effort. It takes some physical exertion. It takes some bodily endeavor. It takes some works on your part. And the Bible said, perfecting holiness unto God. We need to perfect holiness unto God. One thing I appreciate about the Catholic Church, they do believe in holiness to this extent. They call the Pope His Holiness. Now, you know that's wrong. There's only one His Holiness. That's Christ Jesus. But nevertheless, that's better than the church world does. Some of them don't even believe in holiness. But the Bible said that we're to perfect holiness unto God, having our fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life. For God is the Spirit of holiness. That's why the Bible said, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. It's because God is the Spirit of holiness, and God is the only source of life, and it is the Spirit of holiness that made the birds. It is the Spirit of holiness that made the stars. It is the Spirit of holiness that made you and put you together. How can you see Him unless you be holy, my friend? So then at the midnight cry, the church was not holy. At the midnight cry, they had gone to sleep. Their light had gone out. But all of a sudden, they rose up and they trimmed their vessels. You say, Brother Pike, now wait, what do you mean they were not holy? That is, they had the oil within their vessels, but they had not taken their body into subjection. They had not manifested that inner light. They had not perfected holiness in their body. They had not brought their body into subjection. The Bible teaches that we are to subject the body to the Spirit of God. And we are to perfect holiness in our bodily members. Is that right? They had not done that at the midnight cry. Did you know there's a generation of people that's going around today, and they say, let us praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. That's good. We ought to praise God every day. We ought to praise God. But did you know that those that was around the throne said praise God day and night, and they never ceased? They praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. But did you know when the Bible speaks of them, it said they were beasts? Did you know you can be numbered with the beast, and you can be out there in the world and be beast and still not be sons and daughters of God and still praise God? Did you know that? God is looking for more than a praise. He wants you to praise Him, my friend, but God wants you to be holy, to be filled with the Spirit of God. Because you're sons and daughters of God, you're more than beasts. Therefore, we're not to be beasts. We must be children of God. When people tell you that there is nothing that you can do, that's wrong. They may be ignorant of it. They may be sincerely ignorant of it. But they're wrong. There is much that you can do. There is nothing that I can do when it comes to being sanctified, in that the Bible said God has sanctified me by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is nothing I can do. But friend, I want you to know one thing. I can take that which God has done for me, and out of gratefulness and gratitude, perfect my life in Christ Jesus to the good, holy, wonderful, righteous ways of living. To be a light, I can clean the smut from off of the globe. I can take and clean the lamp up so that my light can shine. Isn't that right? Sometimes you have to trim the wick a little bit. Sometimes you have to light the wick. You may have all in your vessel, but the wick may be all burnt and bruised up, and your globe may be sooty, and you may have to do a wash job on it. You know, the Bible said God saves us by the washing of regeneration, and you may have to do a wash job on it. But I want you to know that you can wash that thing up to where your light will shine and men will see your good works and they will glorify your Father which is in heaven. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants you to do something tonight. Folks, God has called you to do something. He's got men and women in this tent tonight that He's wanting to do something for Him. His anointing is upon you. His Spirit is upon you. God is with you tonight. It's like Jesus when He stood in the temple. He said, "For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He hath anointed me." God hath anointed some of you tonight, and He's got things for you to do tonight. Oh, my beloved friend, can you then spend your time in the frivolous things of this world? Can you turn again to the beggarly elements of this world? And can you go with the crowds of this world when you are a prince? When you are a prince, can you then go with the things of this world? How then can you do it? Oh, what a great calling that you have. Sons and daughters of God, I beseech thee tonight, stand up in the midst of the people. For He said, "You are as the lilies among the thorns when you're among the daughters of the earth." You're like the lilies among the thorns, for you are the sons and daughters of the living God. Oh, somebody would say, "Brother Pike, what do you mean?" Let me show you something here just for a moment. Did you know Jesus wrought some great miracles? Isn't that right? He healed the people. He done great things. They never bothered Him. But one day they took a notion they was going to stone Him. And Jesus said, "Now wait a minute." Said, "For what good work do you stone me?" They said, "For a good work we don't stone you." Now we don't mind the miracles. And we don't mind the healings. And for all of these things we are not stoning you. Jesus said, "For what reason then?" Said, "You being a man make yourself God." Come on now, folks. Are you listening? Are you listening? I wonder tonight if you know who you are. They said, "We stone you because you being a man." You know, a lot of times folks say, "Now, don't you follow a man.
Are you listening? You take an old jealous person that wants to tear down something. You try to follow a God man. He's trying to lead you. Say, don't you follow a man. You beware. You'll get in trouble, my brother. If he's a God man, you better follow him as far as you can. Paul was a man. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. That's as good as the devil wants you to do or would like to do to you, is to get you not to follow the ministry. Not to follow the things of God. The ministry is set there for the perfecting of your faith. You follow me? All right. They said, you being a man. Are we following a man tonight? Jesus said, the man Christ Jesus. The man, I am the Son of Man. They said, you being a man, you make yourself God. Oh, listen to this, folks. Listen to this, children of God. What beautiful things God has for them that love Him. You being a man, you make yourself God. So this is why we stone you. Jesus said, because I call myself the Son of God. Now listen. Because I call myself the Son of God. Now listen. He said, is it not written in your scriptures? Is it not written in your Bible? Is it not written in the Old Testament that I have called ye gods? He said, didn't I call you gods? Didn't I call you gods? He said. I went back and checked the Old Testament. I wanted to see. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit said, you're gods. He said, but ye shall die like men because you won't believe. You'll perish from the lack of knowledge. And they stoned him to death. And they'll still stone you to death today. If you preach that the Holy Ghost is living inside of a man today. If you preach that men are sons of God today. What did he say? Being a son of God. A son of a dog is a dog. A son of a cat is a cat. A son of an elephant is an elephant. A son of a God is a God. Said you make yourself a God. How many of you confess to be sons of God tonight? Hallelujah. You won't be stoning anybody then. How many of you believe that a son of a dog is a dog? How many of you believe that a son of an elephant is an elephant? How many of you believe that a son of God is a God? Bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's why the world doesn't love you. You know what a God is? A God is somebody that can't die. A God is somebody that can't die. You know, human beings die. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We're not all going to die. We're not all going to sleep. We're going to discover something after a while. And brother, I've discovered something. Took me a long time, but I discovered something. You say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike. Yes, I want you to know that I discovered something that medical science couldn't get a hold of. So then I love the Lord tonight. I believe that we've got something, folks. I believe that we have passed from death unto life. I believe that we have passed from death unto life. That means that we have something tonight. How many of you believe tonight that we passed from death unto life? Now you can believe that when we say these things, we're going to get a repercussion. There's going to be some discussions in Jeffersonville, and we're going to be the topic of the subjects. We're going to be the one. But that's all right. That's all right. Say, well, you don't have to holler at us, Brother Pike. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Does it sound like a trumpet? Does it sound like a trumpet? Hallelujah. The Bible teaches when Jesus comes back in the elements and when he begins to sound the trumpet, all of the world shall hear it. Said in his voice, sound like many waters. Many waters. So then tonight, God is doing something They said, "We stone you." Said, "You stone me for that reason." Folks, let me tell you something. If any man deny that Christ is come in the flesh, that man is anti to God's great teachings. Did you know that? He's an unbeliever. He is an antichrist. When a man denies that God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of a human being, that you have heavenly treasure in an earthen vessel, that the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of your human frame, if any man denies that, that man is an antichrist. That's an antichrist teachings. Don't ever let anybody tell you that God doesn't live in the heart of mankind. Don't ever let anybody tell you that all this is just believing. The Bible said, if you have not my spirit, you're none of mine. It doesn't matter how much you believe. The Bible teaches you can believe a lie and be damned. You can believe a lie and go into the lake of fire. You can believe you're on your way to heaven when you're on your way to hell. You can believe that you are a son of God when you're a son of the devil. You love Jesus? Did you know that Judas obtained part of this ministry? Can you say amen? The Bible said, "I've chosen 12 of you and one of you is a devil." Is that what the Bible said? How is it that one of them could be a devil and one of them couldn't be a god? How do you know that a devil is a god? Isn't that right? The Bible called him the god of this world. Is that right? "I've chosen 12 of you," said, "one of you is a devil." Isn't that right? Did he number Peter with that same thing? Somebody said, "No, but he was differentiating, Brother Pike, between devil and man." He must not have been. He looked at Peter and said, "Get behind me, devil," or "Get behind me, Satan." Brother, whatever you're numbered with, that's what you are. Is that right? Is that right? So then he said, "I've chosen 12 of you, and one of you is a devil." But he said Judas did obtain part of this ministry. Now listen, somebody said, "But now wait a minute, Brother Pine." No, the Bible said he obtained part of the ministry, and the Bible said he fell by transgression. Just like you fall by transgression, he fell by transgression. And friend, did you know it wasn't until the supper that Satan entered into Judas? It wasn't until the supper. Satan never entered into Judas until the supper. When Jesus gave him the sop, then Satan entered into Judas. Then Jesus said, "Do what you do quickly." So then you have to be careful. You can be in this great move of God. You can be in this great rain. You can shout. You can praise God. You can go to church all of your life. I've heard of preachers fasting and praying and going to church all of their life until their old age and all of a sudden falling away like Solomon did. You believe I'm telling you the truth? Everyone that believes I'm telling you the truth, let me see your hand tonight. I believe we've got some believers here tonight. All right. So then, at the midnight cry, there was some that was foolish. There was some that was wise. Those that were foolish were asleep. But friend, this is what I want to get over to you tonight. Those that was wise was also asleep too. Is that right? Those that was wise was also asleep too. This is what the church doesn't like to hear. Now they'll say, "Brother Pike, I know that those foolish virgins was asleep. But now don't you tell me that the church was asleep. The Bible said the foolish and the wise was asleep. At midnight they all slumbered. And they all slept. But the difference was this, that some of them went to sleep with the Holy Spirit in their heart." My brother, let me tell you something. You may be a believer tonight, but if you go to sleep without the Holy Spirit in your heart, you're not going to wake up to eternal life. You can believe all that you want to, but he said, "If you have not my spirit, you're none of mine." You must have the Holy Spirit if you're going to sleep. And they went to sleep. But at the midnight cry, they woke up. Some of them had the oil. And you know what? At that midnight cry, if you recall, all of a sudden, they all said, "Let's rise and trim our lamps." And they did. And they did. And the wise went in, and the foolish were left out. The wise went in, but the foolish were left out. You know what they did? They began to say, give us of your oil. Give us of your oil. Did you know there has been people for many years that have denied the experience of the Holy Ghost? There has been people for many years that said there's no such thing as being filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that right? But did you notice here at the last moment that people everywhere, all kinds of churches are saying, we believe in this great Holy Spirit. And they're forming a great charismatic order. And they're coming together all over the world. And some of them are God's people. But many of them don't know God. What is it? It's that last moment cry. They said, we see what you've got. And we want your all. But let me warn you here, beloved friend. Many of you that are in the different churches, many of you that are in the charismatic move, I'm acquainted with all of it, priests of all of them. But let me tell you something. There's God people in every bit of that. I know many of them personally. But there's also some Judases, and Paul said some false brethren. And if you start letting down your guard, and if you start doing away with your standards of holiness, because you've got confidence in somebody in those moves, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in trouble. You'd better listen. You'd better remember one thing. Having your fruits unto holiness. You shall know them by their fruits. Having your fruits unto holiness. Not knowing them by a praise. For the beast praised him night and day. But shall know them by their fruits. Having your fruits unto holiness, and then you shall have the end thereof, eternal life. Isn't that what you want? How do you want eternal life? Let me see hand. All right, I want you to stand with me. I appreciate you being here tonight. I know that these mosquitoes have been bad. And as I said, tomorrow we'll do something about it. We'll have a smog here. Now, we appreciate you coming to be with us tonight. We appreciate every one of you. And we are going to preach to you and preach the gospel to you and tell you about the love of God. And these things that we're exhorting you in tonight, I hope that they will take root in your heart and in your life. And I know this. I would love to preach to you the deep mysteries of God. I'd love to go into the revelation of Jesus Christ and preach to you the great mysteries of God. Whereas we've got hundreds of tapes at home where we've taught some of our people in the deep mysteries of God. Many of them have never been released to the public. Preaching under the tent, round like this, most of the time, we're not able to do that because we have a mixed congregation of just babes in Christ that desire the sincere milk of the Word. And even the things that I preached tonight was too strong for some people. And this is just the very elementary things of God. The very, very elementary things of God. And yet it was too strong for some tonight. Oh, brother, sister, I can't hardly believe. I told my companion, I can't hardly believe that the people are on the elementary side of the gospel so much. I meet men that are Bible scholars, that are great Bible scholars. Some of them can almost memorize portions of the Bible. They have read the Bible and been to Bible college and study and know it and can quote it and got all kind of learning. And when you get to the mysteries, they don't know nothing about them. It's fantastic. Great mighty men that don't understand nothing about the mysteries of God. And rarely I meet somebody that has broken to the mysteries of God and gone beyond the veil. And they understand things. But brother, sister, these things that we talk about tonight are very elementary. Whereas I know there's people here, or they should be, here in this area, there should be people that should understand something concerning the mysteries of God. Here, especially in Jeff, there should be, from what I understand that's been taught in this area, that there should be some people here that are indoctrinated in some of the deepness of God. Whereas the Bible said, few there be that find it. And it speaks of that people that's going to be translated, that's going to discover eternal life and escape death and go by the way of the translation and escape the grave. There really is some people that's going to do it. They're going to discover it. And it's here. It's our day. It's here at last. And I'm so glad. I'm so glad that it's here. I'm so glad that it's here. But it's still a privilege to be able to share the gospel tonight. Even talking about these things to enlighten some folks in the condition of the church and the age that we're living in right now at this present moment. Now then, I want you to bear with me just a little bit longer. We're not going to try to weary you tonight, but I want you to bear with me just a little bit longer. You know, when you come into an area, God wants a revival, you have to get into a revival spirit. You have to begin to move with the Spirit. It takes a little cross. It takes a little effort. You know, coming out sometimes and sitting in chairs like this is not quite as comfortable as sitting in the pews, having the air conditioning. It's not quite as, it doesn't quite hold the advantage as not having to fight mosquitoes and being so miserable. But you know, the devil's on his job, isn't he? But this is the way that we have a light. This is the way that we get people that ordinarily would not come into the churches. Did you know that I've won people to God under the tent that live next door to churches like Churches of God and different churches that was outstanding? I mean, live close enough to where they could just walk, as we say, out of this tent maybe and walk just from here to this building over here or closer. And they would be in church and they'd never go. And I've come and set up a tent in town and win them to God. And they'd become great people of God. That's hard to believe, isn't it? I've won people to God that was so fierce that the police dare not get on their property. Didn't matter what happened. The police knew not to step on their property. They were afraid. But we won them to God. Won them to God to become just like a little lamb. See, so tent meetings are so needful for my brother, my sister. You know, leaving the 99 to go look for the stray. That's what we're doing tonight. That's what we're doing tonight. So let's get in and be men and women. Let's bear the cross. Let's bear the burden. Let's fast and let's pray. Let's make this meeting a success here in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Let's bind together. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. I'm not interested in that. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, this church is right and that church is right. There's one thing that's right, and that is being born again, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And brother, I'm telling you one thing, if you're not born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you're not right. It doesn't matter what church you belong to. You're not right. You can belong to the Baptist, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, the Pentecostal, or the Catholic, the Episcopal, or the Church of Christ, or whatever, but if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you are lost. You are lost. You are lost. And I'll tell you what. If everybody in every church would get full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said them fellows were filled with the Holy Ghost at the day of Pentecost. Over there when they fasted and prayed together many days beyond Pentecost. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with it. And the church ages set in when the Holy Ghost came. There were no church ages till the Holy Ghost came. That's what started the church ages. Read it. It's true. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you and your church will be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you go back, it'll rub off on somebody. Did you know that? Your experience will rub off on somebody. And I don't mean you rub the Holy Ghost off on somebody. But I mean your experience will rub off on somebody. And they'll get acquainted with you. And they'll get a desire. And the first news you know, that Holy Ghost on the inside of you will be on the inside of them. Did you know you can lay hands on people and people will receive the Holy Ghost? I've laid hands on people and people have received the Holy Ghost. Brother, you can receive the Holy Ghost by the laying on of hands. you can receive it. You can receive it just like you receive healing. You love the Lord? You know, here's a thing to do, folks. Don't go by some doctrine. Don't go by some idea. Don't go by some impression. While we're living in an age that you know better than to do that, too many things have been proven wrong. Get your Bible. Go to your Bible. Check your Bible out and see if it's right. Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, there's too many versions of it. No, there's one version that's really right. That's the King James Version. Say, there you go. That's your idea. That's not my idea. I've been back to the other ones too. We've been back to the Greek. We've been back to those that's gone along with philosophy and everything else. And we've been back to the old scrolls and all of those. And the King James still right. It's still right. The others are filled with ideas. So then it's the thing that's right. And what we need to do is come together with the Bible, brother. Believe what God's Word says. If Brother Pike tells you contrary to the Bible, you believe what the Bible says. If somebody else tells you contrary to the Bible, you believe what the Bible says. And you won't never go wrong. You know, I teach this to my people. And when I say this, I know some of you are going to be like shooting stars. Now listen at me. I know some of you, I'm going to get a repercussion out of this if I haven't got a repercussion out of anything I've said tonight. But I'll tell you what, if you'll think it over, swallow it down, you'll say it's the best thing, one of the greatest things I ever heard in my life. Just try to digest it because you ain't going to want to swallow it. But when you get to where you don't have any confidence in any living human being on the face of the earth, your mother, your daddy, your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, when you get to where you don't have any confidence in any living human being, and you put all of your confidence in Christ Jesus, my brother, you're going to be in good shape. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, preach the Word. The Bible says we are they that have no confidence in the flesh, none at all. You have confidence in the flesh in anybody, they'll betray you. But my brother, you have confidence in Christ, you'll never be betrayed. If you see that much of Christ in me, put that much confidence in me. If you see that much Christ in your mother, put that much confidence in your mother. In your brother, in your dad, in your friend, whatever, don't go beyond the measure of Christ. You'll never be disappointed. You'll never be disappointed. But otherwise, you'll crash up down the road somewhere because you'll put confidence in some individual and he'll crash up and you'll crash up with him. You love Jesus? All right, we love you tonight. And while they're playing on the musical instruments, we're going to take just a few minutes with you if you'll bear with us here. I want you to bear with me just for a few moments. We've got some fine men with us tonight. I see Brother Solomon from India and the brother here with him that we met the other night. Such wonderful people. There's just numbers of them, Brother J.T. Parnell, Brother Capps. Some of the others here that we met, I can't remember the names, but just numbers of ministers that we met from different places and different churches. They've come, our brother, from the Assemblies of God back over here that we talked to last night. He was kind enough to let us have some cheers. We've had some people from Brother Rogers' church that are real fine people. Some people, I believe, came out from the Church of Christ. We had people from all kind of churches that are here. I believe there's some people from Sister Hicks's church. Brother Billy Paul from the Tabernacle also. Brother Branham's Tabernacle. Let us have some chairs over here. And they forgot to bring our chairs over. It's a real unusual thing. This meeting has been very unusual. And we were going to rent chairs, and we may still have to rent some. We've already made arrangements to rent them over here in Kentucky, and we can get them. But being pushed up like this, they were kind to us. And the Lord worked with us. But I want you to think this over tonight as we take a few minutes with you. I want you to think this over. If you don't have a real God experience tonight, I want you to get a real experience with God, folks. Did you know the Bible teaches that the Holy Ghost will guide you? If you don't have the Holy Ghost in your life tonight, you don't have a God. You might be a believer, and if you are, that's wonderful. You've got to believe. When you pray, believe. But if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have the Comforter, and you don't have the God tonight. And you need the great Holy Spirit in your life tonight to guide you. If you don't have Him tonight, then you need Him. He's your guide. He's your comforter. You know, in the Old Testament, He was called the Holy Spirit because He had never taken on a personification. The Holy Spirit had never personified itself in a human form called the Son of God. In the King James Version, the rendering is the Holy Ghost because He took on a personification. He became a human being. And when a spirit takes on a personification, it becomes a ghost. And He's called to us today the Holy Ghost. That is, He is in the form of Christ Jesus. He is Christ, the Holy Ghost. And He lives in the hearts of men today. And if you don't have Him today in your heart, beloved friend, you don't have a guide. You don't have a tutorer. And you'll never know the real truth. You'll never be able to go on to the fullness of the truth. You don't have the seal. God gave him the sign of circumcision. Circumcision of the heart, the seal of the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed unto the day of redemption. That is redemption of the body. So then the Holy Spirit being on the inside is your guide. He's your comforter. He's your tutorer. He will tutor you. He'll guide you and teach you. The Bible said He will guide you into all truth. Jesus said, I came to bear witness of the truth. All truth and all righteousness. He'll teach you. Whatever you need, He'll give it to you. He'll teach you to. He'll lead you into it. And that's what God is wanting to do tonight. So tonight, while we take just a few minutes, I want you to do something for me. I want to pray for you tonight. For there's some of you that need special prayer. And being the first night of our meeting tonight, I'd like for you to step out tonight. I wonder if you've got enough boldness tonight that you'd like to step out tonight. Come up here and let us pray for you. We're going to wait just a few minutes. There's some of you that's going to come up here tonight for me to pray for you. And I want you to come up here and stand tonight as I pray for you. While we're waiting, come on right now. Come on right now. Come on right now. I want to pray for you tonight. There's some of you right now that needs prayer. And I want to pray for you tonight. I believe that God will do something for you. I believe that He wants to do something for you. Because you're God's children. And you know, if you're not God's child, you're still God's creation. And that means that you have opportunity. Friend, tonight, as long as there's breath in your body, that means you have the golden opportunity of making divine choice toward eternal existence. And tonight, while we wait for just a moment, I want you to come up here. I want you to come up here. Everyone tonight that would like for me to pray for them, I want you to come up here. Glory to God, I feel His presence. You know, there's one thing that a lot of people hasn't learned. They're going to learn it as time goes on. Really learn it here from here on out, because the end of the world is here now. And they're really going to learn it. But the man of God has the power to bless, and the man of God has the power to curse. He has the power to bless and He has the power to curse. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe that. But it's absolutely true. The Bible said, seeing that He is the minister of God, will ye not be afraid? For He beareth not the sword in vain. For He is set there to execute judgment upon them that do evil, but He is set there to bless them that do good. He hath the power to bless tonight. For the Bible said, whosoever ye bless shall be blessed. It says, whosoever ye curse shall be cursed. Whatever ye bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever ye loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. I feel His love, don't you? I feel His great Holy Spirit tonight. I feel it. I feel God moving here tonight. If you want me to pray for you, I want you to come up here. Hallelujah. Do you want to be like Jesus tonight? Do you want to be like Jesus tonight? Let's lift our hands to God tonight.
earth I long.
Let's lift our hands to God tonight. Oh, Christian friend, I have told you about Jesus tonight.
Like him.
Brother Pike may speak things that you do not understand. I hope that you do. But if I speak things that you do not understand, search the Scripture. Search the Scripture. Jesus one time spoke things they did not understand. But he said, search the Scripture. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. He said, these Scriptures, they testify of me. These Scriptures, they testify of me. Search the Old Testament, Jesus said. In them ye confide as being your absolute unto salvation. But if you'll search those Scriptures, you'll find out that those Scriptures testify of me. All down through the Bible, Jesus said they were talking about me. And now I'm here, he said. And it's the same way tonight. There's a greater than Solomon here tonight. You say, who is that, Brother Pike? The Holy Ghost. How do you believe the Holy Ghost is greater than Solomon? There's a greater than Solomon tonight. Jesus said, if two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And the Holy Ghost is here tonight. Jesus is here tonight. I want you tonight, all of you that want prayer, I want you to come. The others, I'd like for you to come and stand around here tonight. Some of you come and stand around these people tonight. Come and stand around them tonight. I'm going to pray for them. You can be blessed tonight. You can be blessed tonight. Hallelujah. You can be blessed tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I want some of you ministers to come up here and pray with me tonight. The Bible said the prayer of faith shall save the sick. If they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. And I believe that tonight. Whosoever sins ye remit shall be remitted. Whosoever sins ye retain shall be retained. In the prayer of faith tonight, the Bible said if the minister prays the prayer of faith, then God will hear. But the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And if they've committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them. Tonight, if sin causes sickness, God will forgive it. God will forgive it. Let's pray tonight. Can you come and pray with me, brethren? Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, as we worship together tonight,
goes by.
Oh, hallelujah.
You'll find he's not
hallelujah. I feel you doing something with this sister. Father, heal tonight. Well, may the divine healing of God be here tonight. Father, I feel you healing this body. I feel this faith going out to God tonight. I want you to heal tonight. May the great Spirit come into this heart tonight, and may it satisfy this longing soul, Father. Oh, God, forgive every sin, break every yoke, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus tonight, touch this sister, Father. Break the yoke tonight, my Lord. Break the yoke tonight, Jesus. Let the great Spirit come down tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I feel your presence, Jesus. Move by your great, wonderful power tonight and heal in the name of Jesus. I feel you healing right now. Heal, oh God, in the name of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. I feel your presence tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel your presence. Father, tonight, as we pray for this case, Lord God, in this wheelchair, I'm asking you to heal tonight. I'm expecting this case to be healed, Father. May the power of God enter into this body. May thy Spirit in thy power tonight loose these joints. Father, may the creative power of God do whatever's needful in this body tonight to restore. And let these limbs be restored tonight. Father, and let this body be healed tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Hallelujah.
He is so wonderful.
Yes, sir.
Because he first loved me. Oh,
would you like to have a real experience?
How I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first love me,
and I really truly believe
to me he is so wonderful.
Doctors can't do that. You know it has to be the act of God.
To me he is so wonderful.
8 years.
Oh, to me he is so wonderful. Because he first loved me. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Look down from heaven tonight and save him. Forgive his sins tonight and heal him. Deliver him from the habit, Father. Lord, that's got him bound.
Just reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. Well, you'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment your need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by.
Let's just lift our hands up and love the Lord
praise
tonight.
Praise God.
Praise God. This young man gave his heart to God tonight. He said he accepted the Lord, said he'd never had an experience with the Lord before. A girl, I beg your pardon. Young lady, I beg your pardon. Forgive me. She gave her heart to the Lord tonight. And I think that's wonderful. You really surrendered your heart to the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and love Jesus.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise
Are you brothers
God.
And sisters? Just, Oh, your son. My, you don't look that old. Praise God. Have you ever had an experience with the Lord, son? Praise God. Let's just lift our hands up. Would you three just lift your hands up and let's pray together. Let's just pray for this group together. Would you do that? Father, Lord of heaven, in the name of Jesus, I want you to save this group of people here tonight. Father, save these young people tonight. And God, work a miracle, dear God, tonight and heal this body. Father, in your great, wonderful name, let your spirit be here during this revival. And God, heal these bodies, Father. Father, restore feeling to these dead legs and to this dead body. Oh, God, that people, Lord, might believe. And dear God, that life may be enjoyed again. In the name of Jesus, Father, that the great, wonderful blessings of God can be felt here tonight. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God.
All things
hallelujah.
Are possible.
You want to be prayed for tonight?
Jesus.
Just lift your hands up and we'll lay hands on you tonight. Father, tonight as we pray for this brother, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight, may thy spirit be present. And may the glory of God come down in his life tonight. May healing be in his body tonight. And Father, whatever the disease or infection, whatever the problem might be, Lord, may it be moved tonight. And Lord God, if there be a desire for a deeper walk with Jesus tonight, you can see it. You can reveal it. And whatever it be, Heavenly Father, may thy healing and blessings come into his life tonight. Speak to these people and build faith tonight. Lord, that your great, wonderful power and blessings and miraculous may be in these meetings from night to night. Grant it, Lord, I feel you trying your best to bring faith. And I know you will. I'm looking for it, Father, in Jesus' wonderful, lovely name.
Lord,
praise God. God bless you, my brother. Father, touch this woman tonight in the name of Jesus. In your great spirit tonight, by your great power tonight, let your great love tonight, Father, flow. And may the great spirit of the living God be here tonight. Lord, as she's listened so sincerely tonight to the word of God, if there be any disorder in this body tonight, I pray that you would move it in the name of Jesus. May thy spirit heal. And I feel you healing tonight. I feel your healing power here tonight, Father. I feel your virtue moving tonight. The same virtue, Lord, that went out of the body of Jesus Christ that made the little woman whole. I feel it tonight. I feel people reaching up in faith.
Hallelujah.
Receiving that virtue tonight. May Hallelujah. It make them whole Hallelujah. In every way tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
Glory to God.
Father, heal tonight. May these people receive healing tonight. May testimony after testimony break forth in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Lord, real, genuine healing. Oh, God, that the medical profession cannot deny. And oh, God, that people will have to acknowledge. I want you to heal tonight. The suffering, the sick.
Hallelujah.
I want you, God, to expel
Glory
everything from
God.
These bodies.
Hallelujah.
Heal. And I feel you healing tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus, my Father. Father, heal. In the name of Jesus tonight, heal. I feel your healing power
Hallelujah.
Tonight. Heal in the name of Jesus
Hallelujah.
Tonight. Hallelujah. Father, heal tonight. In the name of
Hallelujah.
Jesus, heal tonight. Father,
Glory
let the great
God.
Miraculous
Hallelujah.
Power of God be here tonight. And heal in the name of Jesus. Father, break every yoke, every bondage, and heal. Deliver, Lord, and let the power of God be felt here tonight. In the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, touch this sister tonight. May healing come into her body tonight. May the healing power of God be here tonight. And may they come back, Lord, rejoicing in the Spirit. Lord, that the divine power of God hath brought deliverance. I ask for your healing and blessing tonight. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and love Jesus tonight. I feel God here tonight. I feel his blessings here tonight. Praise God. Okay, let's pray for our brother tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, you've heard the request of my brother tonight. I want you to do something extra special tonight in his heart and in his life. God, in Jesus' name tonight, may your spirit, may your blessings, may your power be upon him tonight. Lord, I pray that every unbelief shall be moved tonight. I pray that the power of God will break every yoke tonight. And I pray that my brother will receive the deliverance that he needs in his body tonight. And I pray, oh God, that you'll restore to him all that he desireth tonight. May the anointing of the Lord rest upon him. Father, hear from heaven tonight. Hear from heaven tonight, oh Lord. In the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Hear from heaven. Move all unbelief tonight, Father, in Jesus' mighty name tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, may your spirit be here tonight. May your power be here tonight. May you heal and may you be the deliverer in the midst of the people tonight. And may you deliver the people tonight, O God, Lord, from the bondage of fear and the bondage of oppression. And Father, from evil spirits. And dear God, from diseases, from oppressions. Father, may you deliver them from afflictions, from every bondage, dear God, restoring health, restoring happiness. And Father, may this yoke be broken. I know that you've broken the yoke, Jesus. And I know the yoke is going to be broken in a greater measure from night to night. For I feel the Holy Spirit working, Father, to light the candles of the Lord. Oh, God, you said the spirit of man in the inward parts, Lord, is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. I want you to light these candles tonight. Light these candles, that this light would begin to shine and the darkness would be driven back. May the candles of Jeffersonville, Indiana, be lit, Lord, that it can be strong as they unite together, and faith and power of God can begin to move, that the afflicted can be delivered in Jesus' miraculous name. In Jesus' name tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God in Jesus' name.
The burden, need the load of guilt.
Praise God. You know, I feel the Lord here tonight. I can really feel Satan fighting. I feel the Spirit of God, and I feel faith. I felt faith ever since we've been on these grounds. But I can sure feel the powers of darkness trying to smother out, to hold back. But I can still feel that light breaking through in spite of all that he's doing. I can still feel the moving of the Spirit and tell that God's going to give us revival here in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and do something. And I want you to pray. I'm going to continue to pray. I've been praying since I've been here. And I want you to pray, and I want us to pray together, that God will move until afflictions will be healed here, and until sicknesses will be taken out of the body, and until God will reveal the situations of men's heart here, until we have a great move of God here in Jeffersonville, Indiana. I believe that God's going to do it. We might have to burn a little bit of midnight oil to be able to get God to move like we want to.
Hallelujah.
But I tell you what, if that's what it takes, then people, we can do it if we love God. We can do it if we love God. If you're concerned about your fellow man, they that labor will receive a reward from Christ. And I'm willing, by the help of the Lord, to do it. This morning when I got off of my knees, as I raised up to heaven, our problem here in Jeff, it had been binding. And when I raised up to heaven, I looked up to heaven. And I heard the Lord say, it's all right. Everything's all right. I've cleared everything through the city, son. Go your way. It'll be all right. But we had to burn a little bit of midnight oil to get in touch with the man that could do the job, and he'd done the job. And that's all it takes, is just getting in touch with God. There's nothing too hard for God. Did you know that? There's nothing too hard for God. It just takes a little bit of effort on our part. But if we pray and leave it up to God, God will do something great for us. You love Jesus? I want you to stand with me tonight. Now, we're coming to a close now, but I want you to remember this tonight, that we want a revival here in Jeff. And we're planning to have a revival by the help of God. We're planning to have a revival here. I believe God is going to give us a revival here. I felt a little move of it tonight. A lot of times in a revival, I feel the revival break open the first night. And I felt a break even before we got the tent up here. But I can feel hearts that's not open. They're not open. They're just partly open. And I can feel people that's not yet surrendered and not yet turned loose. They've got a little reservation of heart, and I can understand it. We're new in your community to many of you. Some of you don't understand. And I can understand that you don't understand. And then, of course, there'll always be skeptics. There'll always be people that'll fight. There'll always be people that hate the gospel. There'll always be those that'll come to see, and that's all they're interested in doing. They're not interested in the lost nor their soul welfare. But at the same time, God will be moving, and everyone that hears will be accountable to God in the day of the great judgment. So then our job will be done as we preach the gospel to every creature, whether they ever come back or not. Whether they ever surrender or not, our job is done. And we'll meet them again one day there at the great white throne of judgment. And they'll take time to listen. But to you that want to see God move, and you that want to see people saved, and you that are concerned about your soul, and you that have loved ones, and you that want to see Jeffersonville, Indiana move by the power and the Spirit of God, I'm asking you to pray, and I'm asking you to come and be with us. I'm asking you to hold our hands up in this meeting and work with us. Now, I'm not depending on you, because the Bible said, cursed is the man that leaneth upon the arm of flesh and goeth down to Egypt for his help. I'll go to God and lean on God. But I'm counting on you as my brother and sister to come here and work with me and try to do something for God, to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that the house of God may be filled, that we may have a move of God here in Jeffersonville, Indiana. For I tell you this, folks, in the name of the Lord, when we leave this area, you will be accountable to God just like I am accountable to God. God told me to come here, I'm here. The devil tried to make me leave. I did not leave. I stayed. Now it's up to you. We're here. God has pressed through. We're here. And it's up to you. When I leave, you will be accountable. For whatever takes place, you will be accountable. As for me, I have purpose in my heart. One thing, as I do in all of my meetings, to pray and to fast and to seek God till the meeting closes out. Because I want Him to do His best for you while I'm here. That when I close the book for Jeffersonville, Indiana, I can look up into heaven and say, God, I did my best for the people. And Lord, it's up to you and up to them now. So then you do your best while we're here. And you work with us and you tell the people out there that love Jesus to come and give us a hand. And you lift up a light that you might be a light to them. And I'll tell you what, when we pray up here, you believe. And I promise you in the name of Jesus Christ that you'll come back and you'll be healed in these meetings. I promise you that you'll come back with a testimony of healing. You love Jesus? All right, let's lift our hands up together. Praise God. We're going to ask Brother David Paul to come back, if he will, as we go to close out the service tonight.